Yitzchak, Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, Edayin, Sorchaya, Va'achashtar Penaya, Elaine, Hargishu, Almalka. Let's recap what is happening at this point in time. Perek Vav discusses the story where Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. And the story begins where there is a new authority. There is a new king The end. The Malchus of Bavel has come to an abrupt end. Belshazzar was murdered by one of his loyal servants, a Kasdoi, one of his servants who was an old timer back from the time of the Nebuchadnezzar. When this Kasdoi heard about the interpretation of the handwriting on the wall, after Daniel interpreted the handwriting on the wall, came in this and told Belshazzar that the Malchus of Babel will come to an abrupt end. This Kasdoi murdered Belshazzar, took his head, brought the head to Daryovesh Hamadai, and Koresh, the king of Paras, delivered the head of Belshazzar, and immediately thereafter there was a change of Malchus. Whether there was a war, it's not clear. If there was a battle, there was not a battle. He was immediately accepted. But very quickly, Daryovesh Hamadai came to power, and this began the 52 years of the Malchus of Madai Uparas. Immediately, Daniel was recognized as being a very great person. He was the one who was the advisor who interpreted the dreams for Nebuchadnezzar and predicted, interpreted the handwriting on the wall for Belshazzar, and he was immediately taken into the court of Daryovesh. And Daryovesh Hamada, who was 62 years old at that time, we learned this yesterday in great detail, asked Daniel what should he do in order to make sure that his Malchus will remain firm. And Daniel advised him to appoint 120 governors, 120 officers over the 120 Medinos of the Malchus. And we discussed yesterday, there were only 120, not 127. There were seven less than what Melech Paras would eventually gain. And on top of these 120 officers, governors, would be three ministers who would serve as intermediaries between the governors and the melech. Daniel was appointed one of the three ministers. He was extremely successful, extremely popular, and the ministers, the governors, got very jealous, and they wanted to have him removed from office. The reason why, when their jealousy climaxed, when Daryovesh Hamadai wanted to appoint Daniel as the head on top of the three ministers. There should be a new appointment in government. We have the 120 governors. We have on top of the 120 governors three ministers. And now the king, Daryovesh, wanted to make Daniel, appoint Daniel to serve on top of these three ministers. They were extremely jealous. Chief of staff, and they were desperately looking to dig up some dirt on Daniel. An Elah, and I called Hashchasa, something, some excuse, something that is corrupt, something that would have him removed from office, but they could not find anything because Daniel was 100% perfect. So what do? They figure the only success they will have is by taking something that is dear to him, and that is his religion. By focusing on his religion, they can use it as a wedge, as an excuse somehow, they can use it to remove him from office. So that's what they did. So here is where they begin their plan. Pasuk Zayin, Edayin then, Sorchaya means the ministers, the three ministers. In this case, it means the two ministers, because Daniel was the third minister. V'achashtar Penaya, and the governors, 120 governors of the 120 Medinos of the Melech, of Daryovesh Hamadai, which is basically the entire civilized world, except for seven other Medinos. Elaine V's, Hargishu Al Malka. They came close, they approached the Melech, they made an appointment with the king. The Chayin Amrin Leyan, they said the following to the king, Daryovesh Malka. Now they begin with the Hakdam is always, may the king live forever. Daryovesh Malka, Daryovesh the king, Le'olmin Chayei, may you live forever. That was just a kavod, a derech eretz for the king. Pasuk Ches, it's Yo'atu call, it's Yo'atu means counseled. We all got together and we discussed the following idea, and it's a good idea among all of us. It means that we took counsel, call all Sorchei Malchusa, all of the ministers of the king, which include the Signaya. The Signaya, okay, I don't know, these are different types of different levels of leadership. The Signaya.
Maybe like a Sagan.
A Sagan, the deputies, the commissioners, the Achashtar Pinaya, and the officers. Ha-Dov-Raya, another category of officers. Ve-Upachavosa. We had these words in the beginning of Sefer Demil when we really had eight different. There we learned about Nebuchadnezzar had beneath him eight different levels of advisors, and all eight levels of advisors were asked to interpret the dream, or not only to interpret, to tell Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was, and also provide the interpretation. So here we only have four of the, we only have four, which will the Signaya, Achashtar Pinaya, Hodavraya, Ufachavosa. These four groups of officers and advisors have come for. We've all counseled, we've all come together and discussed the matter. Likayomo kiyom malka. These two words mean the same thing. It's a repetition to intensify likayomo kiyom, that your malchus shall remain forever. We're very concerned that your malchus shall remain firm forever. Ulisakofo esor. El Sakafa means it should be powerful. Esar means here. Esar means a prohibition. No, so they.
Esare, like. A kind of a shvuah.
No. So, but over here,
to swear off something.
But over here, they want to issue a law. Esar here means a prohibition. They want to issue a law, an edict in the government, a very powerful law, all for the purpose of strengthening your malchus. What do they mean? Let's just read a few more words, and we'll explain. D that chol di yiv a, any individual, any citizen in the country that is va'u min kol elo, that will make a request from a god or the enosh or any human being ad yoimin tilosin for the next 30 days lohein minoch malka, not to the king, to someone other than the king, yisrimei shall be thrown legov ar yovosa, to a den of lions. Now, what's going on here behind the scenes? So first of all, okay, so let's, first of all, the truth is these 120 officers and all these officials couldn't care less about Malchus of Dariavish HaModa. As far as they're concerned, he can be gone tomorrow and there'll be a new king, and Adrab, there'll be a lot of fun have a search committee to go find a new king. They couldn't care less. Again, this entire thing was just a plot in order to have Daniel thrown, killed, to have removed, be killed, thrown to a den of lions because of their intense jealousy of the success of this Jew, Daniel. This took place at the very beginning of his malchus. The very beginning of the malchus, what they wanted to do was to show the world that the king, their plan was the king should ingratiate himself with the entire world. And everyone in the world, every citizen, every government, every mayor, every official shall come to the king and make a request of the king. Their city, their province needs, we need a generator. We need transformers. We need a new relay station. We need water, bottled water. Every governor needs something. They should come to the king, and the king will grant their request, because the king, the Dariavish HaMadai, basically ruled the entire world. And by doing so, that everyone will develop a relationship with the king. The king will get to know all of the governors, all of the officers, and the king will give. And when you give, automatically the recipient becomes indebted to you. I'll give you the classic example. We say this every single day in Shimon Esrei. Goimel chasodim tovim v'koinei hakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows kindness and he acquires everything. Koine means Hashem is the owner. Simply means Hashem owns the entire world. But on a deeper level, what this expression means, when you give something someone, the recipient feels indebted to you. You're beholden to the giver. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowing chasodim tovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire world and provides every living creature with sustenance, with his needs. Hashem does chesed, Gomel chasodim, Hashem bestows chasodim tovim, automatically through that process, v'koinei hakol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquires the entire world. All living creatures recognize the source of their existence is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has bestowed His kindness upon them by giving them life and giving them what they need to survive. They become beholden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has acquired the Konei HaKol. This concept of Gomel Chasodim Tovim and Mimela the Konei HaKol is exactly what the advisors of Daryavish HaModai are telling Daryavish HaModai to do to his entire Malchus. Be good to your kingdom. Give a stimulus. Lord, give everyone what they want and develop a relationship with them. And Mimela V'Koinei HaKol, everyone in the world will become beholden to you. Now, part of that process is this is going to go on for 30 days because the king can't go give everyone whatever they want. You only can make one request. This can't go on forever and ever. People have to pay taxes. The king can't just constantly give away the malchus. This will take place for 30 days. And during this 30-day period of time, no one else is allowed to pray. All of the churches, all of the shuls must be closed. And all of the mayors, every office, every government office must be closed, so that the only one that will be giving, will be bestowing goodness, will be the king. And that will show to the world that Daryavish HaModai is in control. He has the ultimate authority, he has the ultimate power, and this way you'll establish your malchus. Okay, let's read the pasuk again. Let's read them too, because it's a hard concept. It's a very difficult to really understand exactly what the advice that they're doing. So we have to read it very carefully. Let's read it one more time. Pasuk says, "Isyatu kol sorchei malchusa." We have decided, we have come together and we have discussed the matter and we are giving you the king advice. What's our advice? Who, first of all, who has participated in this secret meeting? All of your top officials. The Signaya, V'achashtar Penaya, Hadov Raya, Ufacha Vosa. Four groups of officials. All four groups are all included. At least we get a little bit of a flavor over here that these four groups are all included in the general term of the Sorchei Malchusa. Sorchei Malchusa is a general term which includes the ministers, which is broken up into these four parts. What are we coming to do for you, the king? We're coming Lekayomo Kiyom Malka. We want your Malchus to remain firm. Now also take note that this is something in contrast to Daniel, because Daniel also told the king what he should do in order to make sure that his Malchus will remain firm. He was the top advisor to the king, and he told the king, if you want your Malchus to remain, you have to appoint governors. Therefore, there are 120 Medinos, appoint a governor for each Medina. On top of these 120 governors, appoint three ministers. And we discussed yesterday the alumnus of why this would keep the Malchus of Daryavish HaModai firm. Because if there would be a new king, all 120 governors would lose their job. They all were appointed by the king. So no one would want to lose their job in the mail. They would make sure that the king remains in power. Here, the ministers are trying to tell Daryavish HaMad that we have a better idea. Do you think Daniel here, there was a right away from the very beginning trying to weaken, because this was all directed against Daniel, to weaken Daniel's position, to undermine him. So this was, do you think Daniel has a good idea? You should have come to us. We have a better idea how to make sure that your Malchus will remain firm. Now what is, how are we going to make it firm? So here come the next words. Ulisakofo isor. To issue a prohibition. Isor means osur. It is forbidden. Okay, so use a different context, the word isor. But here it means you shall make a very powerful law of what should not be done. Oloisase. Issue a proclamation that if the following thing shall not be done, and if it's done, it will be a great punishment. What shall not be done? Dichol di that. Kol di yiv'e. For the next 30 days, everyone shall come to the king and ask the king for his needs. And by doing so, the world will come to recognize that Daryavish HaModai is the melech, and he has power, and he can do, and he can provide for the entire world. Who will be the goymel chasodim tovim v'konei hakol of this world. And mimeila, di chol yiv'e, anyone that will make a request, Dichol Yivei, Ba'u min, anyone that will make a request, Ba'u. Ba'u means, these two words mean the same thing, they're just repetition. Ba'u, to ask. Bo mine Rav me Abaya. Rav asked Abaya to make a request. Min kol elo, from a god, the enosh, or a man, al ad yomin tilos, in 30 days. 30 days every church and shul will be closed. Every government office will be closed. Lohein minoch malka, besides the king. The only place people can come to make their request for the next 30 days will be the White House, will be the home of the king, of the melech. If he will violate this isar, this prohibition, Yisrimei legoiv aryovos, so he will be thrown into a den of lions. It will be a death of torture, of terror. Don't mean it's a very, very interesting type of death. It's not just torture; it's terror. Can you imagine the terror being thrown to lions and having the lions eat the person up alive? It's torture and it's terror. So pasuk test ka'an malka. Why are we doing this? Ka'an, now, they said to the king, this shall be done immediately. Ka'an means atah. It's a targum for the word atah. Malka, the king, tekim esara. We want you to issue this prohibition. For the next 30 days, no one should be allowed to pray. No one should be allowed to make a request of a human being. This sirshum kisava. We want you to write this, put this in writing. Di lo lehashnoya. And it should not be changed. Even you, the king, this was one of the rules of government of Madaya Paras, some rule, that once the law has been issued, even the king himself does not have the power to rescind the law. They put it in writing, Dilo lehish lehashnoya, so that it cannot be changed according to Kiddos, the laws of Madaya Paras, Dilo sedei, this means in Hebrew, asher loy savar, so that no one shall transgress. Because if it's put in writing and it is issued, no one would dare transgress the law, because they know there is no way out. Even the king himself cannot save the life of a person who has violated this law, because this is the rule of the Malchus of Paras and Madai, laws which have been issued and have been sent out. They cannot be, the king does not have the power to pardon the violator. It's a very interesting rule. In the United States, the king can pardon a person even for the worst crime, I imagine. Are there any exceptions? Even for treason, can the president of the United States, are there any exceptions to the rules of pardon?
Could, but wouldn't.
But this was the rule of Paras Samadhi. Even the worst possible violation of any criminal law cannot be pardoned. The perpetrator cannot be pardoned by the king because of the dust par. Therefore, Deloy Sede, so the law will not be violated. Pasuk Yud, Kol Kvel Dino. In light of this, when the king heard this request be made, Malka Dor Yovesh Risham Kisava, so he agreed. He put it in writing, the Esara, and the prohibition was proclaimed. It was sent out throughout the entire world. Okay, very good. So now this was enforced. It was during the early part of the Malchus of Daryavesh. This was their advice to the king, that he should establish his Malchus. Everyone in the country should get to know him. Everyone will come to him and make a request, what they need for their country, for their city, for their region, And since no one was allowed to make any other request from any other god or human being, this will establish a sense of authority in the land. It's hard for us to relate to, because the country that we live in, it's not a very religious country. There is religion, of course, but what?
Probably the most religious.
In those days, they lived gods. The pagans, they had all these various gods. And they really believed that by praying to the sun, the moon, the stars, and all these various forms of all these idols, they would receive what they needed. So for there to be a proclamation that no one's allowed to pray for 30 days, and every request you have must be presented to the king, it established a certain sense of authority. It was a total change of mind. People's frame of mind was broken. We see today, the power is out for a few days. We see people are totally confused. The whole frame of mind has been changed. It's a shocking change for people. So this was the same thing. This was their way of life. They would pray to God for their various needs. And now for the next 30 days, no one can pray. It was a blackout for them. You have to come and present your needs to the king. They got to know the king. Yeah.
Just one question. It sounds good on paper, decentralization. They have decentralization versus centralization. So what they were suggesting was everything. Wouldn't it have overwhelmed him so much? Imagine all the requests that were coming. That's exactly what you said.
I don't know the answer. There's more to it. Obviously, how could we have a world of a million people? Everyone's coming to him in one day. It's impossible. How are you going to manage?
I don't know.
I hear the question. There must be more details to understand, to really understand the depth of what's taking place over here. I don't know the answer. Yeah. Moshe, novelty bowl, you're going to wear away. You're right.
Well, he's got all these officials to process it.
I guess so. That's what you have to say. You have to say it was a very elaborate government. There were many officials. I hear. There has to be more to it. Correct. There must have been a very complex system put in place in order to accept the request of all of the people that came to the king. I guess not every single person that came directly to the king. There were people, there were representatives. There was a major bureaucracy that was there to answer the request of all the people. Pasuk Yudal, Daniel and Daniel. V'Daniel Kidi Yida. Kidi means when. Yida, it was known. Dirishum Kisava, when he knew that this edict was issued. So Daniel has to daven. Daniel has to daven Shachris Mincha Ma'arif. And there's a law. Anyone that davens, anyone that prays to a god, will be thrown into a den of lions. So Daniel couldn't care less. Daniel went to his home. The Alevites say. Now there are different interpretations among the Mefarshim of what was Daniel thinking. Some of the commentators understand that Daniel immediately got it. He knew this was directly at him, because they knew the part of his thing. Every time there was a government meeting, he would step out. I have to have a mincha. I have to have a ma'arif. I can't come so early. I have to go to shachris. Daniel knew this was directed at him. So, let's explain. Because the issue here that is discussed in great detail by the Mefarshim is we have a halacha: the person only mechuyev to give up his life for the gimel averus chamuros, avodah zara, shvichas dam, and gili arayos. When it comes to every other mitzvah, a person is not mechuyev to give up his life, to jeopardize his life. So davening to Hashem is not one of the gimel averus chamuros. So why then did Daniel jeopardize his life to daven shachris mincha ma'arif for when it's not the gimel averus chamuros? So the answer is that halacha of the gimel averus chamuros is true, but there is another example, shmat. When the goyim, even if they tell you, we want you to change the color of your shoelace, if it's the minhag yisrael to wear white shoelaces, and the goyim say lahachis, because you're a Jew and this is the minhag yisrael, we want you to change the minhag yisrael from a white shoelace to a black shoelace. It's called shmad. If it's directly focused on your religion, then you're mechuyev to give up your life. Yeah.
Okay, but isn't that true?
Yeah.
It's a direct decree against the Jews, and only the Jews. But here, it's indirect.
Okay, so yeah, we have to understand then that it was direct enough. That since Daniel right away understood this thing, generally, let's say a goyim said, well, you can't do shechita. And then it's not a Jewish thing. They just say, we don't want there to be shechita. And if anyone does shechita, we're going to kill you. And it's not directed at the Jewish religion. You're not mechuyev to give up your life. So you don't do shechita. So don't eat meat. And if they're going to force you to eat meat, so you'll eat the meat without shechita. Because they're not focusing on something that is Jewish. When it comes to avodah zarah, gili arayos, shvichas damim, that it does not make a difference whether it's Jewish or not Jewish. This cannot be done no matter what. It's gimel averus chamuros. But when the reason why they're telling you not to do something is because we know that this is your Jewish custom, this is your religion, and we do do not want this to be done, even if it's a custom, a person's mechuyev to give up his life. And that's over here what Daniel detected. This whole thing was directed against him. They knew that he would daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he was now willing to be Meiser Nefesh. Other Farshim say not necessarily. Daniel would not have risked his life, however, at least not at this point in time. And that's why he went Lebei Say. He did not go to Shul. The shuls, the public shuls, we could assume they would have a place where they daven in public in Bavel when they were sent into exile. But Daniel did not go to the public Batei Kinesios. He was all Lebei Say. He thought he can get away with it. He thought that he can daven in private and he would not get caught. So two different mahalchim if he knew that he was being spied on. But Daniel Kedi Yoda, when he knew Dirishum Kisavon, when he knew when this edict was issued, when it was written down in laws, Al Lebei Say, he entered to his home, V'chavin Pesichon Le Be'i Li Say. And he prepared, Chavin means he prepared windows in his attic, Neged Yerushalayim, opposite Yerushalayim, V'zimin Tilasa, 3 times Biyoma during the day, Hu Barech, he would bless, he would daven, Al Birchohi, on his knees, Umitzaleh, he would pray, Umodeh, and give thanks, Kadam Eloke, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Kovel Dihava Oved Min Kadmastina. This is an elaborate expression, which is very hard to translate one word at a time. It means like he's been doing from time immemorial, like he's been doing from day one. He did not change his custom one iota. It did not make one bit of a difference, this crazy law that you're not allowed to daven for the next 30 days. Kol Kovel, just like Dihava Oved, he would do min kadmasna from time from way long ago. Now there are many obviously you see over here there are many halachas that are learned from this halach from this pasuk. First of all, we have here the fact that he made windows. Daniel, let me read you the Gemara Masech the Berachos Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba LaOilam Al Yispal Adam Ella Babayish Sheyesh By Chaloinos. A person shall only daven in the Beis Haknesset which has windows. Why? Shenemar, we learn from this pasuk, V'chavin pisichon le Daniel, he prepared open windows. Pesichin means V'chavin, I told you, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. V'chavin means a window. I made a mistake. I told you V'chavin means to be prepared. That's incorrect. V'chavin means a window. V'chavin pesichin le, he opened up windows in his home, be'ilise, in his upper chamber, to pray. Because why? It's a psychological thing. If a person sees that there are windows, so he sees the heaven, he sees the light, and therefore in his mind it's easier for him to relate to the fact that his tefillah goes to Shemayim. The truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear your tefillah no matter where you are, even in the dungeon, even if it's pitch black dark. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear your tefillah no matter where, but when there is light and there's opening to the heaven, you get a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels is answering your prayer. And for this reason, there's another very important halacha, the Gemara Masechta Tainis tells us, that if Bezin wants to issue a Tainis, a Yom Tzom, because there is no Geshem, there's a lack of rain, or there's a Tzara for Klal Yisrael, they do not issue a Yom Tzom on a day that's cloudy. Because when the Tzibur comes together to daven, they have to get a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening to their tefillos. The next very important thing that we learn from this pasuk is that a person has to daven Mizrach, you daven towards Neged Yerushalayim, that we daven in Chutz Liyaretz, so we daven towards Mizrach in Yerushalayim, wherever you are in Yerushalayim, you're always davening towards the Beis HaMikdash, towards the Har HaBayis. So these are two very basic halachas that are learned from this pasuk. We learn over here also that let's just take a step back. In Neged Yerushalayim, the Rashi says, Letzad Beis HaMikdash, the Afal Pi Shechadav, even though the Beis was destroyed, Asak Mashama Shlomo, the real makar of davening towards Yerushalayim comes from Shlomo HaMelech, V'hispalalu Eilecha Derech Artsam. From Shlomo HaMelech, we learn the pressure daven towards Yerushalayim. And that's exactly what he did over here by opening these windows in the attic. Okay, the next thing we learn in this pasuk is to daven 3 times a day. Okay, 3 times. Shachris, L'arvis, Shachris, Amincha. The next thing we learn over here is, yeah,
Could you just comment on Rashi's comment, Baruch al
Birkhoi? Oh, right now I'm coming to that. Baruch al Birkhoi, Korea al Birkhoi. Now there is a halacha. We only bow down the Bracha Rishayna, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu, and Baruch Ata Hashem Magen Avraham, and Modim. That is the only time we bow down. The Gemara tells us that the Kohen Gadol, what? At the end of Modim. Then we have the halacha that a Kohen Gadol, he bows down at the end of every single bracha. If I'm not making a mistake, Kohen Gadol bows down every single bracha. And the Melech, that once he begins Shemona Esrei and he bows down once, he does not get up. The entire Shemona Esrei must be recited in a state of being bent, bowing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara explains why is this so. The greater you are, the more you need to humble yourself. A average person doesn't feel gaiva, doesn't have the ability to feel that he's such a bal gaiva. What is he a bal gaiva about? What kind of power does the average person have? So it is sufficient for him to bow at the beginning of Shemona Esrei and at the end of Shemona Esrei. But a person who is a kohen gadol has a much greater sense of power. He is an authority. He to protect himself from feelings of gaiva has to humble himself that much more. Must bow down every single bracha. The Melech. No one is holding back the Melech. There's nothing a Melech can do. The Melech can take away someone's property. The Melech can execute someone without any reason. He can pardon anyone. There's nothing holding him back. It's very possible that the power can cause him to become corrupt. Therefore, he must humble himself to a much greater degree and bow the entire Shemona Esrei. From this, Chazal learned that Daniel, this is an incredible Chiddush, had the status of a Melech. Daniel was the leader of Klal Yisrael at this point in time in Galus. Later on, he would give over his authority to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was a descendant of David, as we in fact learned Daniel also. That was what we learned in the beginning, very beginning of Daniel. Daniel was a descendant of David, was from Shevet Yehuda. He was Roy from Malchus. It could very well have been that if the Mashiach would have come, they would have rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash at this point in time, that Daniel would have been Melech HaMashiach, because Daniel was from the Zera HaMalucha. He was from, that was the very beginning of Sefer Yishai. There's a whole question of what about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Were they also from Shevet Yehuda? We discussed that. But Daniel certainly was. I want to go back to the very first parak. From the very first parak, we learn, it says here, Vayihibraham ibnei pasigvav, parak aleph pasigvav, when Nebuchadnezzar took with him at the time of the Golos of Yehoyachin, the Chorash Hamasker, Vayihibraham ibnei Yehuda, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they were the Zera of Yehuda, of David HaMelech, and Nifri could have been king, and he was acting as a melech here in Golus, and that's why his entire prayer was on his knees. He was in a state of being bowed from the beginning of Shemona Esrei to the end of Shemona Esrei, as the halacha requires for a melech. Fascinating concept. There's a din malchus even in chutz li'aretz. Even though there's no shena mishka at this point in time, and there's no beis hamikdash, he's acting in the capacity of a melech, and we see that from his koyach hatzfila. Okay, pasuk yibetz. Edayin then. So they were spies. The plan was working perfectly. They issued this proclamation, this edict, this prohibition. No one's allowed to daven. And Daniel goes to daven Ma'ariv, Shachris, and Mincha. And there's someone watching. Edayin den Guvraya Ilech. These people, these evil people, these officers who devised this elaborate plot, Hargishu, they sensed what was going on, that he was davening. The Hashkahu, and they discovered, it was discovered, Daniel, that Bo'ei Umischanein Kodom Elok. Okay. He was making requests and asking for chayin, asking for rachamim before his God, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubeidayin then, kirivu, they came close, v'omrin kodamalka, they approached the king, Daryovish Hamodai, and they said to him, al esor malka, they said to the king, concerning the prohibition of the king. They said to the king, no, it's already day one. King, do you remember that yesterday you signed the document? concerning the Esor Malka, concerning that prohibition of the king, Halah, is it not true? Esor Rishamta, is it not true that you signed a prohibition? D that, Kol Enosh, any individual, D Yaveh, that will pray, Min Kol Eloh, before a god, or Ve'enosh, or before, will make a request before another official, before a human being, Ad Yoimin Tilosim, for 30 days. Easy request. We only told people not to daven for 30 days. Lohein Minoch, besides you, Malka the king, Yisrimei, Lugoyv Ar Yovosa, will be thrown into a den of lions? Is that true? Would you want to confirm that the king did really sign this document? Is this your signature? Is this your signature?
Yeah. Wasn't that like it's his idea?
On a Malkov Yama, the king raised up his voice and said, "Of course, Yatsiva Milsa Emes. Yatsiv means Emes. Emes v'Yatsiv v'Nachon v'Kayam. Yatsiv is the targum of the word Emes. Yes, it's true. Yatsiva Milsa. This is a true thing. This matter is correct. Kidos, according to the laws of Modayu Paras, the law said they will which shall not be transgressed. I've signed it. It's etched in stone. And anyone that transgresses this law will be thrown to the lions. And even I do not have the power to pardon an individual who violates this law." So then they were smiling from ear to ear. They die, and then I know these officials raised their voice. And they said, "Kodam Malkul for the king. D, do you know that? D that Daniel, D min bnei Galusa, Daniel, who is one of those Jews who has been exiled. He's an immigrant here in this country. This is an insulting statement. Right away, they're coming to put him down. He's not even a native to the country. He's just an immigrant. D Yehud, he's a dirty Jew. He's just a Jew. What?
Like a stateless person.
Stateless person. He's a Yehud. Law some." Aloch Malka Te'im. He did not pay attention, did not take it seriously. It had no reason. Te'im means reason. What the king advised, what the king issued, was meaningless in the eyes of Daniel. He did not give it any consideration. Lost some Aloch Malka Te'im. Daniel did not give consideration to the law of the king, V'al Esara Di Rishamta, and concerning this prohibition which you have signed, the Zimnin, he didn't pay attention, period. What did he do? How did he violate your law? The Zimnin Tilasa, three times, not only once, he has a chazaka for violating the law. He did this three times, the Zimnin Tilasa B'yama, three times during the day, Ba'o Ba'usei, he made a request from a god, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dying then Malka Kidi Milsa Shema, when the king heard, when he heard this matter, Sagi Beish Alohi. Sigi means very much, and Beish means it was evil, evil in his eyes. He was very, very upset. Look over here. Look at Rashi. Sagi be'esh is a hard word to translate. Harbe hora be'enof. It was evil. Be'esh means, in this context, it was vayera be'enof. The sixth parasha with Avram Avinu, when Hashem, when Hagar says to Avram Avinu, get rid of Yishmael and Hagar. Vayera be'enof. It was evil in his eyes. He was very upset. He was disturbed. But anything more accurate translation for, I mean, to translate the words of Rashi, disturbed.
There's the word bisha.
Yeah.
Which means ra.
Evil.
Yeah.
Evil. But it doesn't mean evil in the way we translate evil. We translate evil as a rasha, merusha, a rotzeach. Here, the word ra in this context means he was disturbed.
Troubled.
He was troubled. Trouble that, why did Daniel, why did you have to do this? Now, what am I going to do to save you? Because Rashi explains, Shehoya Oyev es Daniel, Daryovesh Hamadai loved Daniel, and now he knew this. What am I going to do for you? According to the laws of Modei Paras, I can't even save your life. So it was Be'esh Elohei, it was disturbing to him, the Al Daniel. Sambal. So what did he try to do? So this is a hard translation. Two translations. Sambal. He tried to give a ransom. Let's see Rashi. Rashi gives two interpretations of what is bal. Well, let's see. But Rashi, Ein yodea dugmasa. Rashi says, I do not know what the word bol means. There is no precedent, there is no other place in Tanakh where the word bol is used. But from the inyan, it shows the context, we can understand what it means. And what does it mean? So the Mefarshim says it means really one of two things. Either it means he would give a ransom. A ransom that, what do we have to do to save the Nihal? I'll pay you all off. Okay, he violated the law. So who are the witnesses? Let's just bribe everyone. I'll give everyone money. They never saw it happen. Maybe for money, everything can be changed. Even though this is the Das Paras Umadai. That's one Lishe Zavuse. Lishe Zavuse means to save him. So some, he set Baal a ransom. Lishe Zavuse to save him. Ve'ad Me'ole Shimshon, until the sun set. Me'ole means the setting of the sun. Hava Mishtadar Lehatzalusei. He was trying the entire day until the sun set. The king was arguing with his officials. No way. You're not going to throw Daniel to the lions. I will not allow this to happen. And he was arguing with them, and he was willing to pay an enormous ransom to save him. That was what was taking place. There's another interpretation of bol. Bol means like not. Not a ransom, but to provide, to bring forth arguments that he should not be executed. Let's read the words of the Metzudos David. Some bol. Pasik test, let's read the entire thing. Pasik test vav. Edayin then. Oz then. Kasha shama hamelech hasadavar hadavar. Harbe hoyo hadavar harabe enav. It was very evil in his eyes that Daniel would have to be killed. So some bol. Some al Daniel litain koifer mamen. A ransom. Pidyo nafshay lahatzila mimaves. O kol lav shemotza. Any what?
Oh, bal,
love. Oh, I have a mistake in my gears. Mine have chol. It's a mistake in her gears. Oh, bal, love shematza. It means leval asois. The word bal means do not. It's an Aramaic word which means do not, right? Baal, do not. Do not do this. He's just providing, he's bringing forth arguments that it should not be done. Leval asos lo me'uma. Hayotoyin baal vuroi. He was arguing on his behalf. Ve'ad shkia sachama. Hayimisasik latzila. And he was doing this until shkia sachama. Now, why did he stop providing art? Why did he stop trying to save him going the whole day? 12 hours. Because when it came at the end of day, so they're sitting in court and they brought Daniel in. He's the Baldavar, and they're arguing. Daniel, you know what you did? You davened shachris today. They caught you red-handed. You got up at dawn, 6 in the morning, you davened shachris. And last night, you davened ma'ariv. So they're arguing the whole day, and now it's 6 o'clock in the evening, the sun is going down. Daniel says, excuse me, king and officers, I have to step out to daven mincha. So the king, so all the officers says, king, you need witnesses. You just saw with your own eyes the chutzpah here in court. He says, excuse me, I have to go daven mincha. What more do you possibly want? So at this point in time, the king said, there's nothing I can possibly do. I spent the whole day trying to save your life. You daven shachris. They brought you in after shachris. See, here I'm fighting for you the whole day. It's now mincha. And you step out to have mincha. You daven mincha in front of us. How am I going to save your life? This is what it says in the Medrash. Let me see if I can find the exact words. The words of the Medrash are very powerful. Here, let me read the words of the Medrash. It's a very, very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says, this Medrash is in Bereishis Rabosi Parash Vayichi. Dover Acher. Amalchem Yavesh. Haviyu Li'edim. So the Yavesh, part of his argument says, did anyone really see this? I don't even believe you. Prove it. Let's bring in the witnesses to testify. Maybe for a few dollars, the witnesses will say, we never saw anything. It never happened. Amalchem Yavesh. Haviyu Li'edim. V'yidu Shoyim Espal. Hadod Echsev. Zer Shem El Daniel Stambol. Ma'u V'yad. What does it mean now when it says until the evening? While there was thing before the bum, before the platform, and there was a presentation taking place trying to convince the judges and convince the king that he has to be executed. So Daniel sees that the sun is setting. He sees. So what does Daniel say? Excuse me, gentlemen. V'hinichon. Daniel walks off the platform, walks off the stage. V'holach le'lemokayim tzinu. He goes to the side of the courtroom. V'hispalel tzvilas amincha. Kevin shera'u. They were stunned. Here they're spending 12 hours, the best lawyers in the world, the best Yale, Harvard lawyers are trying to save his life. The best firms, the king paid off the... And here, he davens right in front of Kevin Shrug, Mispal Amru Lidayavish. Edim Atamavakish. You want witnesses? Do you still want witnesses to testify that he davened to Hashem? How are you? I'm in the front of the Eina Chay Shevcha. He's davening before Kodesh Baruch Hu, right in front of your face. V'lohoya Daryavish, Lohoshiv, Daryavish, the king had nothing what to say. V'af Alpichin, Lohoya Bekal Mehem, still he didn't accept, he didn't care. Nevertheless, Daryavish Hamadai said, I don't care. I don't care. Let him daven. Let him daven. I forgive him. Ani moichaloi. Kevon sheshamu kein nisrag shuklav yamulo. They said to Daryavish, shetas edin im Daniel, oitse min amalchus. They told Daryavish, either you throw him to the lions, or you're no more king. We'll get rid of you. There was a rebellion right there and then in front of him. She'ein dosenu came, because that's not the law. The king has no right to violate the law. The dos paras modayu paras asher loy savar cannot be violated. Shekol mi sheyaver al gezeras hamelach sheyichya hadou d'chsev beidayin. He had no choice at that time. There was no choice, and Daniel had to be told to be true. We will pasuk, then we'll stop. Pasuk tes, yeah.
We had the thing
about Hashverosh
also, right?
He
put out
his... Yes. Right, so there in Echanami... Exactly, wrote a new one. So what was the new one? The new one was that the Jews had the right to defend themselves, because the law was not that the Jews have to be killed. The law was that anyone that wants to be Peshet Yad, any guy who wants to go and attempt to kill a Jew, no one's going to hold you back. But now, there was a new edict that the Jews have a right to defend themselves. So it was not a direct contradiction. It was not... They did not receive in the original law. You want to have a fight? Goes into hate. Fight it out. We are just giving the Jews the right to defend themselves, and it's not a crime for them to defend themselves. So fight it out. In those rules, the rules of Modai did indeed transfer to the rules of Paras. So you see here, if it's a very good point you're making, you see here the original precedent. Modai u Paras, they had an alliance, and they had the same set of rules. Area over here, in the Megillah, it says, it always says with Paras, before Modai. Here it says Modai before Paras, because here we're dealing with Modai. Modai was in control. Later in the Megillah, the Malchus was transferred to Paras. Paras was in control. Then Guvraya Ilaynch. Then these people, Hargishu al Malka, they came close to the king. The Amal Malka, Da Malka. You shall know the king. Didos the Modai Paras. This is the law. Don't forgive. When Achlan, you forgive. This is the law of Modai Paras. Dichol Esor. Any Esor. Lo sase, any law, anything which you're not allowed to do, ukiyom, or any law that you should do, lo sase v'yanase, di malko yehokeim, which the king has established, lo lehashnoya, may not be changed. And therefore, at this point in time, there was nothing the king can do. The king said, v'haisiv l'daniel, they brought Daniel, he was brought, urmo l'guva di aryavasa. He was thrown into the den of lions, ane malko v'yamul Daniel. And the king said to Daniel, there's nothing I can do, but I have faith. Here the king has faith that Hashem can save you. It's an incredible pasuk. Eloka di ant polach le, the God to whom you worship, you serve, bisdira. Now this is a very powerful expression. You learn a lot of looks from a guy. The guy, what does the guy pick up about a Jew? On pasuk yidzayin, it's a very powerful, bisdira, continuously. Goyim Tadir. Goyim only have Hakara for Jews that are consistent in their service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a Goy sees that a Jew goes to shul occasionally, goes to shul once a year, goes to shul once in a few years, when things are not so good, he then goes to the rabbi to seek guidance, to seek counsel, a Goy is not impressed. That's not a religion. A Goy is impressed when a Jew is consistent. That's what it says here in this pasuk. Here you have Daryavish HaMadai. He's a Goy. And he says to Daniel, I know that Hashem is going to save you because Hashem is the God which polach le bisdira, todir, which you worship and you serve on a continuous basis. Who he will save you. Your God, I can't do anything for you. I've tried the whole day, but HaKadosh Baruch will come to your aid because you worship Him, worship Him continuously. Okay, we'll stop here.
Can I just make one point?
Yes.
That we see here, as throughout the ages, the enemies of the Jews
Right.
It's dual loyalty.
Correct.